Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masechta Gittin. Masechta Gittin, as we will be learning for the next couple of months in Mitzvah Hashem, discusses a get. Taisus, in fact, says that even though the word get really means document, and therefore it could represent any type of document, not just a document that affects a divorce between a husband and a wife. Whenever we find the word get by itself, Taisa says it means a get that severs a marriage between a husband and a wife. Why the word get is used to identify this type of document? So Taisa says because the word get is the gematria of 12, 3 plus 9 equal 12, and that a get has to be 12 lines long. In fact, the Rishonim indicate that we don't find in other documents that Chazal are so careful in telling us how long the document has to be. Why do we find that the get has to be 12 lines long? So the Rishonim explain, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in the Masechta, that one of the halachas of a get is that the get has to be written on a piece of paper that is ready to be given over from the husband to the wife, in nothing else is required. And therefore, if we would have, for example, a get written on some sort of a piece of paper or some sort of a document that's still connected to the ground or somewhere else, that would disqualify the get. So by Chazal, by telling us that the get should be exactly 12 lines long, Chazal have the Sofer prepare this document from beforehand and therefore won't lead to the other disqualifications of the get. In fact, one of the other halachas of the get is that the get should have sirtut, that there should be lines along the document on which the get is written. And I saw that the Mordechai brings down that even though we're learning that a get should be 12 lines long, and that is the minig, that is the typical custom, says the Mordechai, if the get is not 12 lines long, we still should be mesartit. You know, if you have a cipher that writes a small handwriting or whatever, and he doesn't take up all 12 lines to write the get, sirtit should be done for 12 lines. Again, because a get should be 12 lines long. The Rush, interesting Rush, goes so far to say that a get that is not 12 lines long is disqualified. The Beis Yosef, the Rashba, say since this entire concept that we're discussing, that the get should be 12 lines long, is only because the word get, and other reasons we'll explain soon, is begematria 12, but certainly doesn't have a source that the Mishnah, that the Gemara tells us, and therefore, although certainly the get should be 12 lines long, if the get wasn't 12 lines long, it's certainly an acceptable get. Another reason why the Masechta is called Masechta Gittin, the Shiltei Geboirim quotes, and the Chasam Sofer quotes the Shiltei Geboirim, that there is some sort of a stone that's called get, and what it does is it repels all other stones from coming close to it, and therefore Chazal chose the word get to also represent the separation between husband and wife. Another reason that the Gra gives is that we don't find in any other word in the Torah where the letter Gimel and the letter Tes are put next to each other. These are two letters that never seem to travel together. And that's what a get represents, that this husband and wife will no longer be together. One final reason why a get is called a get is because, as we said earlier, the gematria of the word get is 12. And what happens when a husband divorces his wife? His wife now becomes permitted to marry all other men in Klal Yisrael, which are represented by the letter, by get 12, the 12 shvatim who make up Klal Yisrael. The get, as we said, is customarily, as Tosfos teaches us, 12 lines long. And the reason it's 12 lines is either because the get is, the word get is begematria 12. Another reason that I saw is because the Tosfos says, we know that between each of the Siddurim in the Torah, between Bereshis and Shemais, and Shemais and Vayikra, there are separation. The Torah tells us that they should be separated, and the total amount of lines that there are separating the Parshis, the Siddurim in the Torah, equal 12. If the Torah calls a get a Sefer Krisis, so therefore the get also should be, the Torah is separated by 12 lines, so too the get, which refers to separation, is also 12 lines long. The other Mefarshim explain that the Torah uses the words Zeh Sefer told us Adam, and the Mefarshim explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already taught Adam HaRishon the parasha of get, and Zeh is the gematria 12 to teach us that the Sefer that Adam HaRishon was taught is supposed to be Zeh 12 lines long. Of course, the question that comes to everyone's mind as we begin our Masechta is that we've been learning for a while, Baruch Hashem, already Seder Noshim, and now, as we start learning the last Masechtas of Seder Noshim, we learn Masechta Gittin, and then the last Seder of Seder Noshim is Masechta Kedushin. And of course, the question is, shouldn't Chazal have taught us Masechta Kedushin prior to Masechta Gittin? Because one does not get divorced, Chas V'Sholem, unless he's married first. So the Rambam says the basis for this order is because the Torah, the Chazal, follow the order of what the Torah told us. And the Torah teaches us about V'yotza, Mibesa, V'holcha, V'hoisa, Lish Acher. V'yotza refers to her getting divorced. V'hoisa, Lish Acher refers to getting married. So the Torah has the get preceding the Kedushin, and therefore we follow the same order. Another teretz that I saw, interesting teretz, is that if we look at the order, at the amount of parakim that there are in the various mesechtes in Seder Noshim, we find that they go in a descending order. Mesechta Yevamos, which was the first mesechta we learned in Seder Noshim, has 16 parakim, and Ksubis has 13 parakim, the Dorim has 11 parakim, Nazir, Sait, and Gittin all have 9 parakim, and Kedushin has 4 parakim, and therefore Chazal learned the larger mesechtes, the longer mesechtes, and then continued learning the shorter mesechtes. One final vart that I saw, why we learn Mesechta Gittin before Mesechta Kedushin, is I saw from the Sklener Rebbe, he explains that Chazal were very careful on how things were expressed and communicated, because they have lasting repercussions. And Chazal said, we want the culmination of Noshim. We want this culmination of Seder Noshim to represent, to come to Kedushin, to couples being happily married. We don't want, Chas V'Sholem, the culmination of Seder Noshim to come to, Chas V'Sholem, Gittin, to separating between a husband and a wife. So our Mishnah begins by teaching us the halacha that the din is, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, when a husband divorces his wife, he has to give her a get, and the get is only effective when the wife accepts the get, or the get comes into her rishus. We will spend time in Mitzvah Shem defining what that means, that it came into her rishus. And the halacha, as we know, doesn't necessarily require that the get be given directly from the husband to the wife. Rather, shlichim, messengers, could be appointed to bring or take the get on behalf of the husband and wife. And there are primarily two types of shlichim. There is a shlich lekabbalah and a shlich lahaylocha. A shlich lahaylocha means that the husband appoints a shliach to take the get lahaylocha, to take the get to the wife. Rashi teaches us that our Mishnah, which will be discussing the halacha of a shliach, is indeed referring to such a shliach. And it's the shliach that brings the get to the wife and gives it to her on behalf of the husband. And when that happens, when the shliach gives the get to the wife, then is the wife divorced. There is also a shliach l'kabbalah, where the wife appoints a shliach to go to the husband and accept the get from the husband on her behalf. A shliach l'kabbalah, typically the get is immediately effective as soon as the shliach accepts the get on behalf of the wife. The Chasam Sofer does mention that there is a case of a shliach l'kabbalah which could be similar to a shliach l'hilacha, and that is in a situation where it was the wife who appointed a shliach to accept the get on her behalf, but she told the shliach that the get should not be effective only when he returns back to her and gives her the get. So our Mishnah teaches us that a maybe get from Medina Sayyam, if somebody brings a get from Chutz La'aretz, Teretz Yisrael, Tzarech Shiyomer B'fonei Nechta B'fonei Nechta. The Shliach has to say B'fonei Nechta B'fonei Nechta. We will admit Hashem explain in the Gemara why Chazal instituted this rule of saying B'fonei Nechta B'fonei Nechta. The Mefarshim ask this din, as we just mentioned, that the shliach must say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam, is a din derabbanan. We haven't learned at all the halachas of gittin. We just are barely beginning the masechta. Is this the first halacha that we have to learn in this masechta? So some rishonim explain that Chazal always preferred, Chazal had a special affinity to takonis that they instituted, and therefore, since, as we just explained, this rule of b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam is a rule that Chazal instituted, and they began the Masechta with that rule. Another reason that the Mefarshim give is that the reason Chazal said we should say b'fanei nechtam is to protect the woman's position and to make sure that the husband cannot raise any issues with the get, as we will learn later in the Masechta. And therefore, Chazal began the Masechta with such a concern for the woman, that the woman should never be in a situation, in a difficult situation. So even though we're beginning our Masechta with Hamevi, if someone brings, and as the Mefarshim point out, that wording itself communicates that this is not a situation that we're specifically happy about, but if there's going to be a get, let's have the get written in a way that the woman would be protected. And that's why this is the first halacha that we learn in this Masechta. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explain, the Aruch HaShulchan says, la halacha la maisa, and that is the din, Once Chazal instituted the din of saying b'fanei nechtav, if a get was brought under the circumstances where this has to be said, and the shliach did not say b'fanei nechtav, the get is disqualified. So it turns out that b'fanei nechtav are crucial element that have are crucial elements in the effectiveness of a get, and therefore it is most appropriate that the Masechta begin with these words. The shliach who says b'fanei nechtav has to say it immediately as he gives it to the wife from the on behalf of the husband. The Rishonim do point out that if it's given toich kedei dibur, even if it's given immediately, it's still effective, but it can't be a situation that the shliach will give the get and come at a later date to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. The Ramah says the lechatchila b'fanei nechtav should be said in Hebrew in Lashon HaKodesh, but the Evid, the Ramah says it could be said in different languages. The Gra disagrees, and the Gra says that even l'chatchila b'fanei nechtav can be said in any language. We mentioned that only a shliach l'chaylocha says b'fanei nechtav. A shliach l'kabbala, which typically means that the moment that the shliach receives the get, he's receiving the get on behalf of the wife, and the get becomes effective. And then when he brings the get back to the wife, does not have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. And the Mefarshim explain why. The simplest reason that they give is that it's a psychological issue. A husband who gives a get to the shliach lo haylocha knows that the wife, that they're not yet divorced. And since in his mind they're not yet divorced, if he wants to change his mind, he still feels that it's still not final. And he may cause an error. He may cause an issue with this get. And therefore, we have to protect the wife by having the shliach say, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. On the other hand, if the shliach is a shliach l'kabbalah, which brings finality to the get, so once we have finality to the get, Chazal, the husband doesn't think about it, it's over, and therefore he won't be ma'arur on the get anymore, and Chazal did not require that b'fanei nechtav said. Another explanation goes back to the din that we just said a moment ago. B'fanei nechtav could only be said as the get is being given. After the get is being given, it's already too late to say. After the get is already effective, it's too late to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Here, where as soon as the shliach received the get is effective. So if we're going to have him say b'fanei nechtav at a later date, when he actually gives the, when he brings and gives the get to the wife, it's like saying b'fanei nechtav at a later date. And since it's a later date, it's too late for the b'fanei nechtav to be at all effective. So the Tanna Kamma says that if somebody brings a get from Medina Sayam, from Chutz Loritz, tzorach shiyomer b'fanei nechtav, he has to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, af hamevi min harekem min hacheger. It doesn't have to be someone who brings a get from so far away, most Rishonim explain. Berekem and hacheger, they explain, are cities closer to Eretz Yisrael, albeit in Chutz Loritz, but are closer to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, when a get is brought from there, also b'fanei nechtav, the b'fanei nechtav must be said. From here we see that Rekem v'Cheger are in Chutz Loritz. One question that Tosfos asks is that the Gemara says in Masechet Nida that ksamim, pieces of cloth that there are stains from a woman's emissions, if they come from Rekem, are tahirim. Because we assume that Rekem is a place where Jews don't live. So they're coming from Goyim, and the ksamim of Goyim are not tamei. But as Tosfos, obviously, our Mishnah holds that Rekem is a place where Jews lived. Because if Jews didn't live in Rekem, why would we have a concern about a get that's coming from Rekem? So Tosfos answers that yes, there were Jews obviously living in Rekem. But the Jews in Rekem were very careful to keep their ksamim concealed. So if there is a kesem that's found from Rekem, it must be the kesem from a goy. Another tarot that Tosfos gives in Masechta Nida is that there are two Rekems. One is the Rekem that's referred to in our Mishnah, which was a place where Jews resided. And there's another Rekem in Chutz Laaretz, which is where Jews did not reside. Rashi says that Rekem, the definition of Rekem v'cheger we find in the Torah, is when the Torah says Ben Kadesh u'Ben Barod, when Hagar ran away, and the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'tikra Shem Hashem Hadoiv Aleha Kel Roi Ki Amra Hagam L'Reisi Acher Roi Aken Kara L'Ber Ber Lachi Roi Him Ben Kadesh u'Ben Barod. Ben Kadesh u'Ben Barod, says Rashi, is Ben Rekem u'Ben Cheger, says the Targum. But ask the Meshech Chachma, if, as we're learning now, Rekem v'Cheger, Kadesh u'Barod, were in Chutz Laaretz, so how could have Hagar had Nevuah in Chutz Laaretz? There is no Nevuah. Hagar saw Hashem in Chutz Laaretz. How could that be? So the Meshech Chachma says that the pasuk itself was bothered with that question. And the answer is, there are two situations where one can see Nevuah in Chutz Laaretz. One is if the person had already previously seen Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, then that individual could continue seeing Nevuah in Chutz Laaretz. And another situation is if the person is standing in a Makom Tahara, in a place that's Tahar, like where there's like a well. Even though it's Chutz Laaretz, a person could see Nevuah. Said Hagar, Hine Hagam Haloim Reisi, you know why I could see Nevuah now? Even though now I'm in Chutz Laaretz, it's because Achrei Roi, I had already seen Nevuah previously in Eretz Yisrael. And she continued saying another reason. Alkein Kara LeBer, I'm standing next to a bear. And because I'm standing next to a bear, even though it's in Chutz Laaretz, I can see Nevuah. Rabbi Lezoimer continues the Mishnah, that somebody who brings afilu mikfar Ludim leLud, Kfar Ludim and Lud were Eretz Yisrael, Lud is in Eretz Yisrael, Ludim is in Chutz Laaretz, and as Tosfos explains, even though these two cities were so close to each other that they call the same name, still teach us Rebbe Lezer, if it's in Chutz Laaretz we're bringing a get, we have to say Befani Nechta, Befani Nechtam. Why did he mention Kfar Ludim LeLud as the example? So some explain because Rebbe Lezer came from the city of Kfar Ludim, and therefore he mentioned the city in which he lived. The Paiskim point out from here interesting halacha l'maisa. The Chachmas Adam discusses the Shaila. We know that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha frowns upon him leaving Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachmas Adam discusses when is it permissible, and other places can discuss this, when is it permissible for someone to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laretz? And one of the times that's permissible is L'tzarech Panasa, if he's going for his livelihood. And that, they say, is part of the lesson of our Mishnah. Kfar Ludim L'Lud. People from Lud and Kfar Ludim were very commonly each in each other's town. That means the people from Lud traveled often to Kfar Ludim. They traveled often to Chutz Laretz. Still, the halach is they were going there L'tzarech Panasa, and therefore it's Mutar. The Chachamim Maimrim, the Chachamim, however, say, Einat Sarach Shiyam B'fani Nechtam B'fani Nechtam B'fani Nechtam B'fani Nechtam do not have to be said Ela Hamevi Medina Sayam, unless someone is bringing from Chutz Laretz V'hamoylech, or is taking from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. The Gemara Mitzvashem will explain what do Chachamim add here that we haven't discussed earlier. Maybe Medina Sayyam. Furthermore, the Chacham hold that somebody brings from one province to another province in Chutz Laretz, Tzarech Shiyam V'fani Nacht V'fani Nachtam. Shimon Gamaliel Aymer, Afilu Megmania Lagmania. Even if we have one province, but there are different towns in that province that are under control of different individuals, even under those circumstances, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that b'fani nechtam has to be said. And the Mefarshim point out that certainly if it's an area that the two cities aren't getting along with each other, and there's a real concern about communication between these two cities, everybody will agree that b'fani nechtam has to be said. The machlokes would be where there are normal relations between these two cities. Does b'fani nechtam still have to be said? The Mishnah now defines the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Merekem l'mizrach, any place from Rekem and east is called Chutz Laretz. Rekem is already considered like that area regarding a get. That means Rekem is already considered outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ma'ashkelon l'doron, from Ashkelon to the south, is considered Chutz Laretz, the Ashkelon k'doron. And Ashkelon is considered already like it's Chutz Laretz. And the Rishonim and the Mefarshim all discuss that we know that Ashkelon is certainly a city in Eretz Yisrael. And the question, therefore, is how could our Mishnah consider Ashkelon being Chutz Laretz? And there's a fundamental machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri in explaining this question. Rabbeinu Tam says that we know that Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael twice. One was the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the people who came from Mitzrayim, the first time we came to Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua. And then there was the second time when we came from Bavel under the leadership of Ezra. Our Mishnah says, the Rebbeinu Tam, that considers an area to define if an area is considered Eretz Yisrael or is the area considered Chutz Laretz, follows the Oile Bavel, the people that came out of Bavel. And therefore, says Tosfos, the Rebbeinu Tam, Ashkelon was a city that the Yotzei Mitzrayim inhabited, but not the Yotzei Bavel, and therefore Ashkelon is not considered Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, I saw from Yitzchak Zilberstein an interesting halacha lemaisa based on this. He says, we know that the Gemara speaks about people being oile l'regel from Ashkelon to Eretz Yisrael. But the din is that Aliyah L'Regel only had to be done by people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So why does somebody who lives in Ashkelon do Aliyah L'Regel? So he says from here we see that even though someone who lives in Chutz Laretz doesn't have to do Aliyah L'Regel, he could still do it, and there's still a point in being Aliyah L'Regel for people who don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Another approach to this question about Ashkelon is the approach of the Ri. That even though Ashkelon, he says, is certainly considered Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ri, since it was outside of the place where people lived in Eretz Yisrael, it was not part of the Yishuv, so therefore Chazal gave it the din of Chutz La'aretz. Ma'akoy l'tzofen. And then the Mishnah goes on to speak about Akoy, and Akoy is on the north side considered Chutz La'aretz, v'akoy k'tzofen. And Akoy itself is considered tzofen. Again, the Rishonim, with the same approach that we just discussed, go into great length in discussing what is the status of Akoy. How can we say that Akoy is Chutz La'aretz? We know that the Gemara speaks about Meroyim, when they came to Akko, would kiss the ground of Akko. So how could we suggest that Akko is Chutz La'aretz? And again, we find the machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Rabbeinu Tam says that half of Akko is in Chutz La'aretz, and the half that's in Chutz La'aretz, because of that half was only in place that was inhabited by the Yotze Mitzrayim, not by the Yotze Bavel. The Ri disagrees, and the Ri says that certainly Akoy is considered part of Eretz Yisrael as far as it being a city in Eretz Yisrael, but again it was a city that was far from where the centers for where people lived, and therefore Chazal gave it a din like Chutz La'aretz. The question would come up, especially according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that Akoy is considered, or half of Akoy is considered Chutz La'aretz. What would be the din b'zman hazeh, according to Rabbeinu Tam, would somebody who lives in part of Akoy have to keep 2 days yontif if it's considered Chutz La'aretz? A sort of paiskin, Rabbi Yoshev, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman say that all of Akoy is considered Eretz Yisrael, and anybody who lives in any part of Akko only has to keep 1 day of Eretz Yisrael. Ramei disagrees, and he holds Akko k'Eretz Yisrael l'gitten. Akko is considered like Eretz Yisrael as far as Hilchos Gitten are concerned. Says the Mishnah, Hamevi get be'Eretz Yisrael, but if somebody brings a get within Eretz Yisrael, then the halach is such an individual does not have to say b'fani nechtam b'fani nechtam. V'miyeshal of oirim, if there will be people who contest the validity of the get, yiskayim b'chaysamav, then the get should be confirmed through chaysamav. Tosfos Rashi gives 2 ways of explaining how yiskayim b'chaysamav should take place. One is that the Edom should come and say these are our signatures, or other Edom come and they say we recognize that this is the signature of these individuals who signed the get, and that's how the get becomes a valid get. It's interesting to note that Tzois points out, other Achronim point out, that there's another way how Chazal taught us Yiskayim could take place, is that if we have another document that's already confirmed, we should compare with the same Edom signing. We should bring other people we should bring that document and compare the signatures on that document to the document in front of us. The Tzais points out the fact that Rashi doesn't mention this form of Kiyum, says the Tzais and others, that here this will not be a valid way of effecting kiyum. The Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah says im yeshal of oirim. Oirim is lashon rabim, that there's more than one person. But here we're referring to a situation where the husband is questioning the validity to get. The husband is one individual. So why is it called im yeshal of oirim, many? So one teretz that's given is that Chazal gave the husband extra authority to have issues with the get, and even though he's only one individual, the halacha is that he can be ma'ayur on the get as if he were two. Two other answers that I saw is that it's not only the husband who can raise issues with the get. One is lekuchas. We know that when a woman receives a get, she's now entitled to collect a ksuba. Let's say by her collecting the ksuba, she takes it away from, she takes away property that the husband had sold to others. So now they could start making claims on the validity of the get, and that's why it's called Oirim. They are also passable claimants against the get. And one other example is that the Eidim themselves could come and say, we think our signatures were forged here. And they would certainly be individuals who could raise issues with this get, and therefore they are another group of Oirim. They also fall into the category of people who have a right to raise claims about this get. There's a fundamental question that the Rishonim discuss. Our Mishnah is teaching us that under certain circumstances, the Shliach doesn't have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. And if issues will be raised regarding the get, then we will be mekayim the get. What will be the din by other shtaros? Some Rishonim suggest that all shtaros, the halach is, this is the position of the Ri, if there are no issues being raised regarding the shtar, we don't have to start questioning, perhaps there's an issue with the shtar, and the shtar doesn't need kiyum. However, other Rishonim say that typically a shtar certainly must be confirmed for it to have validity. It's only in this situation where Chazal were lenient and did not always require kiyum. And why Chazal were lenient here? There are a number of reasons given by the Rishonim. One is, of course, Mishum Yigyuna Kilubei Rabbanan. Chazal did not want to create difficulties regarding the validity of a get, because we wanted the wife's position to be protected. Another explanation along the same lines is Mitoy Chaymishu Chamata B'Soifai Hikata La B'Tchilosai. The repercussions that the woman will suffer if the get turns out not to be valid are very serious, and therefore the woman will make sure that the get is valid, and therefore we don't have to go through the confirmation process. And yet another explanation given by the Ramban is that the ownership, the relationship between a husband and a wife is different than the relationship that a man has to his property. When a person owns property, it's his property. And if we want to have that property removed from him, we have to be 100% certain that that is indeed the case. A wife is not the property of a husband. A wife is her own person. Yes, a husband is the husband of a wife. There's a concept of kinyan. There's a concept of divorce. But since their relationship is not as serious in a financial form as other relationships that are represented by a shtar, that's why Chazal said that kiyum is not automatically required by a get, even though it's required in all other circumstances. So the shliach has to say b'fani nechta, b'fani nechtam. The Paiskim, in fact, say that since the shliach who's saying b'fani nechtam is really the one that's creating validity to this get, the shliach becomes a negei bedover, and the shliach has no right to marry the woman, the wife, who he delivered her get for, because we always have to be concerned that he really was a negei bedover, and therefore he shouldn't be able to marry the wife. The Chassam Sofer quotes a mashal who makes a distinction similar to what we just learned, that if this get could be confirmed without the shliach saying b'fani nechtam, so therefore it's not he who creates the validity of the get, and therefore he may marry this woman. If on the other hand, if it's a situation where the only one that could confirm the validity of this get is the shliach himself, therefore he becomes a negei bedover and he may not marry the wife. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why did Chazal require that b'fani nechtam be said? Rabbi Omar, Rabbi explains, l'fi she'en b'kiyin l'shma. One of the most fundamental halachas of Hilchas Gittin that we will be discussing in our Masechta is that a get must be written l'shma, specifically with the intent for the husband and wife, and the people and people outside Eretz Yisrael were not familiar with this halacha of l'shma, and by the shliach saying b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, he's saying that the get was written l'shma. Rashi explains what that means is, how do we see from b'fanei nechtam that he means l'shma? So Rashi says, it doesn't mean that he just says b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. The shliach says b'fanei nechtam, and then we ask him, what does that mean? Does it mean that the get was written l'shma? And he says, he confirms that yes, and then the get is a valid get. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the actual statement of b'fanei nechtam and b'fanei nechtam represent that the shliach is saying that the get was written properly. The Ritva and the Ran say even a bigger chiddush, that even if the shliach is not aware of the lishma status of the get, as soon as he says b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, the get is valid. Even if he says he has no knowledge of the lishma aspect of the get. And of course the question is, why would that be valid? So it really goes back to another fundamental question. When the Sofer writes the get, do we have to know that he's writing it l'shma? Do we have to hear him say that he's writing the get l'shma? Or could we assume that he's writing it l'shma? Unless we have reason to believe differently. The Ran, the Ritva, clearly hold that we could assume that the Sofer is writing the get l'shma. The only time we have to be concerned is sometimes the Sofer finds another get with the same names, or the Sofer has pre-prepared gittin. But without that concern, certainly the Sofer would have written it l'shma, and therefore, if the shliach says b'fanei nechtam, that's enough. Rashi, however, holds that's just not enough that we saw that the Sofer wrote the get. We have to know specifically that he wrote it on behalf of this husband and wife. And the only way by knowing it is by the shliach asking the Sofer, did you write this get on behalf of this husband and wife? By us asking the shliach being aware of it, and then us asking the shliach if he's aware of it. The Rishonim also discuss, why are we only concerned about the din of l'shma? Why are we not concerned about all the other myriad of dinim that are applied to a get? The Tosfos Rosh actually explains that that is part of what we're asking the shliach. The b'fanei nechtam doesn't only represent the din of l'shma. However, most Rishonim say that it does represent only the din of l'shma, and the reason being, this, not everybody learned this limud of a kos of law, law l'shma. Another explanation is that this din, that a get has to be written l'shma, is a very unique din in Hilchas Gittin, and therefore there's a concern that the shliach, that the get wasn't written l'shma. As we said earlier, many times there were pre-prepared gittin that the Sofer would want to use, and therefore we're more concerned about the din of l'shma than we are about any other din. Rava says the reason is l'fishen edim tzuyim makaymar, because the edim, we don't have edim who will be able to confirm the get if the get is brought from overseas. Therefore, by saying b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, the get becomes confirmed. The question is, how does the shliach saying b'fanei nechtam create a situation of a confirmation of a get? The simplest answer is that Chazal said that that would be considered a confirmation, or we could say that once the husband sees that the shliach said b'fanei nechtam, he will no longer be ma'ara on the get, because in his mind there's finality here. Asking Ramai Benayu, what are the practical halachic differences between Rav and Rav's explanation? If two individuals brought the get. So if the concern is that they don't know Lishma and Chutz Laretz, it makes no difference how many people bring the get. But if the concern is that there won't be people to confirm the get, here, there are people, there are two Edim. Which of course is somewhat difficult to understand, because even if we have two Edim who bring the get, then the two Shlichim bring the get, they're not necessarily going to be here forever. So what, why is if two people bring the get a concern? So there are two answers that are given by Rishonim. One answer is, again, as we said a moment ago, typically the husband will no longer be ma'arer once he knows that there were two people who brought the get. He won't be ma'arer on this get. But yes, if he will choose to be ma'arer, the error will be an effective error. Others say, other Rishonim explain, that once two Edim bring, two Shlichim bring a get, Chazal took away from the husband the authority to be ma'arer on that get under any circumstances. Inami, Medina, Medina, Eretz Yisrael, where get is being brought from one place to another place in Eretz Yisrael. If the concern is Lishma, as we just said, in Eretz Yisrael, there is no concern about Lishma. They knew the din of Lishma. But if on the other hand, the concern is that there won't be people to be Mekayim to get because there is no travel between these two places, then even Medina, Medina, Eretz Yisrael is a concern. Inami, Ba'is Medina, Medina, Siyam, in the same place in Medina, Siyam. If the concern is Lishma, so we just said in Chutz Laretz, there's always a concern about Lishma. If on the other hand, the concern is that there won't be anyone to be Mekayim to get, since this is Ba'is Medina, Medina Sayyam, that concern doesn't exist. Ask the Gemara, Ula Rabba, according to Rabba, Dom Lefisha and Bikin Lishma, that the concern is that we're concerned that the get is not a good get, because they don't, people in Chutz Laretz don't know Lishma, Libay Trey, we should have to have two witnesses to testify that the get is a good get, meaning to have a kolah rashi b'toira. Whenever testimony is offered regarding a davar she'be'era, two witnesses are required. Answers the Gemara, Eidechad Nam Bisurim. Regarding this situation, as we find in many areas in halacha, an Eidechad is believed. An Eidechad believed to say something is kosher, an Eidechad is believed in many areas. There's a machlokes where we know Eid Echad Nam Bisurim from. Some say from the fact that someone could shecht an animal and testify that that's a kosher animal by himself and testify that it's kosher. It's a raya that Echad Nam Bisurim. Another raya is from a nida, that a woman could say that she's no longer a nida and we will trust her, and even though she's only an Eid Echad. Rashi says it's not possible to live any other way. How could a person ever have a kitchen? How could a person ever live if we're going to need two Edim to testify regarding anything? Ask the Gemara, Eimed Amrina Eirech Nam Bisurin, when is there a rule of Eirech Nam Bisurin? Kigoyin Chaticha, we have a piece of meat. Sofik Shel Chelev, Sofik Shel Shumen. We don't know if it's kosher or not. The law is Chazik Isura, and it was never established that there's something not good about this meat, that it's not kosher. So the Eid Echad could come along and say that it's kosher. Aval Hocha, where we're referring to situation, this Chazik Yisur, this Eishas Ish. Everybody knows that this woman is an Eishas Ish. And most Rishonim say, and furthermore, have a Dovah Sheba Erva. We're referring to a situation as a Dovah Sheba Erva. So Taisus explains the Gemara's question, that because it's Chazik Yisur, and it's Dovah Sheba Erva, we should require of ein davar she'be'erva pachas mishnayim. So according to Taisa's explanation, two requirements have to be met. It has to be chazik isura, and also has to be davar she'be'erva, and there two edim are required. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says that in either situation itself, whether it's a chazik isura or whether it's a davar she'be'erva, two edim are required. So here we have a situation where we have both issues. Number one, it's a chazik isura that she's an eishes ish. And number two, it's a davar she'be'erva. So she will require two edim. Why is one eid enough? But according to Ramban, wherever we have a chazik isura, we need two edim. So why by a nida, who was confirmed to be a Nida, and therefore it's Chazik Isura, is one aid, as she alone believed. So the Farshim explained that even though a Nida is a Chazik Isura, but it's an Isura, it's a Chazaka Hasuya Lishtanis. It's Chazaka that's going to change. Women don't remain Nida permanently, and that's why she's not considered as Chazik Isura. Answers the Gemara, we could be more lenient here, because Rabbi Kinhin, really most people, even in Chutz La'aretz, are familiar with the din of Lishma, and therefore the concern is not such a significant concern, and therefore the Shliach himself saying b'fani nechtam is enough. Says the Gemara, Filu Rameya, even Rameya, whose opinion throughout Shas is, the Chayish L'miyuta, he's always concerned for the most remote possibility. Where do we find the opinion of Rameya? We find the opinion of Rameya in Masecht Yevamos. The halacha is that that Yibam has to be done, but if the boy is a saris, a sterile person who's unable to have children, or the girl is an islandess, then the halacha is that we do not have to do, they can't do Yibam. Yet, Rameya therefore says, when you have a boy or a girl who you haven't established is not a saros or not an islandess, they cannot do Yibum yet. See, why? Because there's always a remote possibility that they are a saros or islandess. So I feel Rameya, the Chayish Lemiyuta, so why here should we not be concerned that the get was not written Lishma? He says, Stam Safri, the Daini, Migmigmiri. We can assume that the Sofer knows the halacha of Lishma. Rabbanan hu de itzruch. It's only with Rabbanan that they required, there's a concern about the Lishma, and that required the Fani Nechta be said. For Hacha, Mishum Aguna, here, because we're referring to the situation of Aguna, we want this woman to be able to get remarried, not to Chas V'Shalom remain an Ishishish, or remain in a Shail of Ishishish. Ikilu Barabbanan, Chazal were Mekel, and they relied that even if the Shliach himself says b'fani nachtam, it's adequate. As we end our first shir of the Masechta, the Mefarshim explain, we speak about b'fani nachtam, the Mefarshim explain that a Jew should always live with this attitude of b'fani nachtam, that everything we do is nechtav, is written, v'nechtam, and is sealed in the Bezdan Shamala. And therefore we should be so careful in remembering how important it is that we always act according to the way the Torah and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to act.